Welcome to the Roanoke Weekly Podcast for October 1st. How are y'all doing today?
Happy October, favorite month.
Hello, hello. Doing good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm hoping Xavier's not going to break down during this. He's been threatening us with allergies.
I know. It's that time of the year again.
I feel the older I get, the luckier I feel that I don't have allergies, knock on wood. Yeah. I mean, it's debilitating. I have a lot of friends with them.
And yeah, mine is the worst. Yeah. It's my dog. I'm allergic to my dog.
Oh.
So, you know, and she won't not sleep with me. So it's pretty bad.
Aww.
I think you need to lay down the hammer.
I know. It's hard.
Oh, it's impossible. When they get to sleeping in the bed,
This is why we close the door and don't let the cats in the room. At
Can't do that with dogs either.
Yeah. She'll sit at the door the entire night. She won't move.
Yeah. Little will scratch the door the entire night. Yeah. It's great. Anyway, great.
Well, let's talk about this week's news.
Yeah.
First off, I want to share that a good friend of mine, and I think several of ours, is retired from Roanoke City government, Bob Clement, head of neighborhood services. And it's been really heartening, I think, to see the positive response from the impact that he's made, that he's now getting the recognition for that over the stepping down.
Yeah, I mean, I knew I liked Bob, but I did not know how the general populace felt, you know. I mean, I figured everybody liked him. He's a really nice, hardworking guy. But it was really cool to read this story by Matt Chittum in the Roanoke Times about his impact and the history of his employment with the city as the neighborhood services coordinator.
Yeah, and he's a big proponent of all the neighborhoods around town and trying to make sure the neighborhoods have the voice that they need to get what they need to have done. So I think he's served a very important role in making that happen. I think a different person perhaps would not have been as effective as Bob has been. So kudos to you, Bob, and I know you're looking forward. If you're listening to this, Bob, I know you're looking forward to not being on anyone's schedule. So I hope you're enjoying your first day of freedom here. And just
congratulations.
You know, just remember to put on pants every once in a while.
Now on to the news.
Yeah, so this is this goes down, I think, in the world of, we're not really sure exactly what's going on in this situation, but it's important to share that given the legacy of this situation in some ways, that TAP has taken the Dumas Center off the market now, it seems, that they're going to continue to use it for their own projects and continue to run it, which comes as a bit of a shock, I think, at this point, after what's been going on.
So. Yeah, I don't really know what to say, honestly. It's like back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. It's kind of like it's kind of like playing with the community in some way, but I don't know. I don't know what's going to come out of it. If they have good plans for it, and so be it. I don't think it should just sit for too much longer, though.
Mm-hmm.
Occupy it while you're in these, while you're going back and forth, do something with it. Or else it just seems like two groups playing with the building, nothing's really being done.
Yeah, nobody's serving the community by having it sit there vacant. Yeah. I mean, there's so many vacant buildings in Roanoke, and especially downtown, and this one is it's very much wanted and very much needed in the community. It serves such a great historical purpose.
Right.
Yeah,
I mean, I remember going there as a kid for the Dumas theater camp. And you know, it's an amazing building. I've done shots there for Colors magazine. I think somebody needs to do something in there like soon, or else it's just gonna be like, you know what, like nobody's gonna ever occupy it. It's just gonna sit.
Well, I'm sure we haven't heard the last of this, but
I think something's definitely gonna come out of it.
It's a long story. Maybe in the newsletter I'll put in a few links to some of the longer pieces written about when it first came on the market, and people can get a little bit of the history of, over the past couple of years, what's been going on.
Yeah, quite a saga at this point.
Yep. Gosh, this story is going to be a saga too, probably, for the next little while.
Well, it's a national saga already. And it's,
indeed. Yeah,
it'll continue to be here, but they've just announced where the five initial dispensaries for medicinal marijuana oils will be, and the closest one to us will be down in Bristol, so it's a 2-hour drive.
Well, the closest one is Stanton.
Is there one in Stanton?
Yeah, the article was saying that the one that it's like the regions are being served by these different localities. So technically the one closest to us will be Stanton, but our region is served by the one in Bristol. So it's a little confusing, but yeah, these places had to put in these pretty expensive proposals and bids, and then they were selected by these various agencies, and now they're, I guess, underway.
Mm-hmm.
It is interesting, you know, this is, I think, not particularly exciting news for us up here, but I will say that Bristol is in dire need of assistance, and so in some ways perhaps they have more need of this than we do on some level. That being said, for those that need CDBD and THC stuff, it's going to be really hard for them to make that drive consistently down there too.
I'm surprised that they're using a mall.
It's been abandoned for years and years.
They want to do multiple things in it, not just the dispensary.
Okay.
So you can go get your oils and go gambling.
Yeah, because even the ones I've...
be very laid back at the craft.
Right. The ones that I've seen in like L.A. and stuff like that, they're not mall size.
Yeah, they're little.
I think it's important.
Yeah, they're small little boutiques.
There's going to be production happening there too. Okay. So I don't know how much production we're talking about with this, so... But there is, I think that's part of the need for a big, because they talked about in Stanton here, now that I'm looking down and reading the article that I suggested fully. It's saying that in Stanton they're going to be in an industrial park, so that'll be a bigger property as well too up there. So
it'll be kind of a different scene here in the initial bit than in the bigger cities where this has been around for a while. And
But it's interesting, another step along the way in some ways to...
Yep.
Full legalization or whatever comes next with this. So.
It's true. Yeah, and the next story we have on our list is also referencing, economic change and boost here in Roanoke with the Virginia Tech Carilion new laboratory research building. If you've been driving around in the area, you might have seen they're building another large building. Mm-hmm. And so the last, beam was put in recently. That doesn't mean it's done. It looks like a skeleton of a building right now, but they're about halfway done with that project.
Yeah, and so it'll be a major impact. I think when I talked to someone recently, they were expecting to go from 32 labs up to 64 labs, which will, of course, be a huge change for that, and that's a lot more research money and a lot more researchers coming into the area. So it'll be interesting to see, and as always, looking to try and build that bridge in some ways between... And hoping that VTC doesn't stay in their little huddle hole over there.
Build that bridge. They're still building that Jefferson Street bridge over there. And so that'll be done within the next year, right? And
I don't remember bridge being there.
I know. It's been gone for a long time.
It went away.
It's very useful for where my wife and I live. And so it's...
So it connects... Yeah. Right there at River's Edge.
Yeah.
Yeah, Franklin, right over into Old Southwest.
Oh. So.
It's not Jefferson, I guess. It's
Franklin.
Franklin, yeah. Okay. Sorry. Misspoke. I even forgot what road it was. But
that's exciting.
Well, they're just trying to isolate Old Southwest. I get it. I mean, you've done this, and then when they're done with this, they're going to tear down the bridge from Wasina into Old Southwest. So, it's...
No. But I'm sure this expansion of this lab facility is really exciting to the small businesses down there and on that side of downtown. And then, of course, the apartment complexes are probably feeling, happy about that too. So,
well, and big picture, we're also, those of us that think about entrepreneurship stuff, we're very excited about the potential for more technology that can be commercialized and turned into businesses coming out of there. But that's a long process. I was thankful to see, I think Virginia Tech has made their pathway from research to development more streamlined. So that's an exciting development from that as well. And so it should be more impacts there. But that group is also involved in our next story in some ways, which is the announcement from a group of various organizations, most of them I think in the county, but spanning county and city divides, about a collective response to the opioid epidemic and really saying that we need to work together across platforms. It doesn't appear that there's really a firm strategy set, but it's good to hear that they're starting to, I'm sure they've been talking many times, but that now they've got a public face where they're going to say we're going to work together and try and figure out how to fix this problem.
Yeah, I think when I read that story, my thought was just that when we talk about some of, you know, not in the opioid crisis sense, but in general with nonprofits working in a similar space or industry, it's really nice to see collaboration. And, you know, unfortunately, this is caused by a huge need in this situation, but I don't think we'll go very far against the crisis without having a collective response, just personally. So this is definitely responding to a great need, and good job to the groups who are deciding to officially work together, because that's they know that's probably how it's going to be impacted at all. So, yeah.
You know, this is such a sad situation. In some ways, you know, I look back and how we handled the crack epidemic or whatever, the 80s, was obviously not a success. And so I'm hopeful that whatever model we do this time will be a model that we can use moving forward. And I'm glad to see people trying new things and trying something that hopefully we can model with whatever the next crisis is that we confront.
Yeah, and, you know, this also is in the same conversation as talking about the harm reduction centers and clean needle exchange and all of that. So at least there will be lots of brains and voices and opinions in the room to go over all of the variables in the situation to come out with hopefully some good plans.
For those of you that know someone or that might be struggling yourself, the Bradley Free Clinic does have a drop-in session that they can help folks, and have volunteer angels that can help folks figure out how to deal with these issues. It's on the second Monday of each month from 11 to 4. So if you know someone, just reach out, or you can come by. This is less appealing in some ways, but the police department is also available and can connect you with resources if you need to. But I feel like that needs to be said in some ways. Yeah. But let's move on to something a little different. And I want to pose a question to you guys. Do you know how your trash gets to the landfill?
How it gets in?
Mm-hmm.
By truck?
No.
By...
I read the article.
Men?
So. I cheated.
I don't know.
It's actually very complex and... Like, so they've been trying to figure out if there's a better way to do this. But as of right now, it gets taken in trucks to a transfer station where it gets put on a train.
Right.
And then the train takes it to landfill, dumps it, and then another truck picks it up and takes it into the landfill proper.
Really?
Yeah.
It seems like a lot of steps.
Right.
So they've been doing some research on what would save money and is this the most effective way to do this. And it now looks like they're going to be ditching the rail service to go just for trucks and potentially turning that place where there have been rails into a easy corridor for trucks to go right into the landfill and then dump their stuff on site.
Does that cut away jobs?
Potentially, I would suggest it perhaps opens up more jobs to have trucks.
Or more trucks.
That full way, yeah.
Okay.
Taking the as the crow flies approach, it seems. I like it.
I definitely didn't know that, though.
Yeah.
God, I mean, just think, like, I don't use the strongest trash bags. I'm just imagining them getting tossed around 3 or 4 times. I bet they explode and everything goes everywhere. Ugh.
If you're looking for a fascinating long-form journalism piece, there's one about trash collection in New York City, and it's... Mm. Incredibly compelling what those people go through, including
I can only imagine
picking up trash bags off the street that are full of needles and all this kind of stuff. And
I can only imagine
the death rate is incredibly high from things slipping and falling. And we don't pay those folks enough.
Yeah, that makes me nervous to think about.
But now I hope everyone that's listening has been educated a little bit more about how your trash gets to the landfill, because it was news for me. I didn't.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's crazy.
One of those things that you just. I mean, for me at least, I put it in my can and put it out in the street, and I don't think about it again.
You don't think about it. Yeah.
I mean, I think about it in the sort of global, like, we should be producing less trash as a society, but my individual, like, the paper towels that I, like, sop up grease from a pan and throw away, I don't ever think about those again.
Right.
So it's kind of important to start thinking about the lifespan of these things.
I thought about it for a couple of months when I realized we had to start paying for it for the solid waste thing. But... Yeah, like Ariel said, it's just like second nature. It's just like, throw it away.
Utilities.
Take the can down to the road, Bring it back up.
Well, I went to the Roanoke City Transfer Station for the first time recently, and that was an eye-opening thing. Like, I had no idea where it was, and now it's very easy to get to, and you can take all of your hazardous stuff there, but it's not something that I had a need to do before. Now,
yeah, Brad and his hazardous stuff.
Paint cans. Paint cans. No. Don't throw your paint cans in the trash.
Yes, I did not know that.
Yeah. I just collect them in my basement forever.
That's doable as well.
I didn't know that.
Okay, let's move on. We've talked about trash for a really long time.
Well, stumbled across this interesting article from the Roanoke Times-Dispatch that was built on some research that Virginia, the Census Bureau, and some other folks have compiled about the area. And interesting to note, you know, there's been, I know that some of the city councilors and we in Roanoke here like to talk about how we're back up over 100,000 as a city and things like that. But interesting to note that we are below the state average for population gain, and that actually our domestic migration to the city is a net, fairly significant net negative at this point. So,
yeah. I mean, we are growing, just not quite as rapidly, right? Is that how it works?
Essentially, yeah. So let me control off F and find the Roanoke numbers here.
Yeah, it's got all the cities and counties and state on the list.
So the state average is, let's see here, is somewhere along the lines of 30 folks per 1,000 folks in your county is how much you've grown over the past decade. In Roanoke, the city, I'm in the wrong place here. Bear with me a moment here. Net change, there we go.
3,000.
We are at plus 30 in terms of net change for the past decade. The county is at plus 14. But in terms of like migration in and out from within the United States, we're actually at minus 30, which is an interesting stat. So that number is being made up by births and international migration into the area. So interesting just to think about what all that means in terms of the growth of our community.
So does that mean that people are not, in comparison to other places in Virginia, people are not moving to Roanoke City and County from the U.S. at as high of a rate?
Yeah, so essentially what it means is that we have more people still leaving the area than we do coming into the area in terms of folks that are coming from the United States or going to the other places in the United States. I would suggest that number is perhaps much better than it would have been 10 years ago.
Right.
And I'd be interested, looking at a decade level, I'm wondering if there's, if we could break that down into like 5-year stretches, how much that would impact those numbers in some ways. But
That's really interesting. And I read an article a while ago, and it was talking about how Roanoke is income and for longevity of actually being able to survive. It's like the worst, it's like the lowest in the cities. And so it makes sense. I'm hoping that with development in the city planning that they take a look at this stuff.
Well, there was a big thing that came out several years ago that talked about how if you grow up impoverished in Roanoke, that you're less likely to come out of it than any other community in the country.
And when you actually like work in it and you actually see it, it makes sense. And you can actually see how somebody can grow up and never leave and never be able to make it.
Are there organizations that, I know there are organizations that are thinking about and working on this stuff, but like I'm going to a luncheon after this today about attracting and retaining young professionals to the region from an outside consulting organization. Mm-hmm. Like that's clearly they're spending money on this to figure that out, how to bring people in.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering if the same kind of thought and dollars are going to helping people get out of poverty and be successful here as locals.
Well, especially when you talk about, there's like, they talk about 5,000-10,000 unfilled jobs in the city. And so how do we connect the folks that need those jobs to those jobs? And
I think it's mostly, I know for me, seeing it and talking to kids, the the main goal of a teenager here is to get out. Mm-hmm. And it's just, that's just like the natural, like ninth grade to 12th grade, they're just like, I can't wait to leave. And I think that's mostly because they're not exposed to the things that are here and all of the things that Roanoke has to offer. So I know I do my, one of my duties is to try to get these kids exposed to the things that Roanoke does have to offer so that when they do go away to college, it's not so hard to come back. And if they don't go to college, that they can be a productive citizen here and know that there are a lot of things that Roanoke has to offer. You just have to find it.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that we talked about this as I'm going into this meeting for lunch today, because I think there's a lot of PR around our growth as a city, and we all need to keep the facts in mind, which is that, you know, it's very hard for people born in poverty to ascend, you know, beyond that. And it's very, also our growth rate is not as sexy as it's being marketed.
It's not.
So we need to just be conscientious of those things.
Well, I think it's also worth pointing out in this situation as well that there is not, there are benefits to being a slow grower as well.
Yeah.
I mean, so when we look at these places at the top of the list, Loudoun County, Falls Church, Fredericksburg, Alexandria, you know, even Richmond, Charlottesville, these are places that are seeing incredible stresses on their systems and very hard to find an affordable place to live in. And, you know, you're taxing what systems you have in place at that point.
That's a good point. And I think I want to re-say what I said a second ago, which is that not necessarily that we want to be a fast-moving, fast-growing city, but that we sound like we are more than we are. And I think it's important for us to be honest about ourselves and like use that narrative for what it is rather than trying to sound like a Richmond or a Nova, because we're not.
And what I like about the slow growth thing is that, and this is applicable to life, is if you take it slower, you're able to put the things in place that work the first time, rather than throwing a bunch of throwing a bunch of systems in there just to make it look good, and then 2 years down the road, it's not working, and then the say is, oh well, this doesn't work and this doesn't work, rather than just having one good system that actually works.
Yeah,
I like that. And I will say, on as a transition to our next story here, that I don't know about you guys, I do seem to run into incredible people that have moved to Roanoke all the time recently.
I do.
So, like, you know, just here at the CoLab, you know, there's a world-class mountain biker that I've learned about that just moved to the area and all these kind of things. But just an interesting story by another exceptional person in the Valley that apparently the second-ranked female racquetball player in the United States is based in Roanoke. I never would have guessed.
Wow.
Nice.
So.
Oh, it's Kalani. Huh.
Do you know this person?
Yes. Wow. Shout out to her. She works at the Y.
Did you not know that she was a racquetball
superstar?
That's awesome.
No.
She must be very humble, too.
Yes. She just works. She works at the desk. Like, very polite, very sweet. Like, I would have never known.
Oh, well, wow, she's been outed.
I saw the picture. Shout out to Kalani. That's really cool.
Well, Kalani, I think you can expect Xavier to have some questions for you next time.
Yes, absolutely. I'm definitely going to mention this to her.
Well, tell her she's on the podcast.
Yeah, I'll definitely share it with her and tell her to keep up what she's doing. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so cool.
Well, good deal. So we share our spotlights for the week.
Yeah, let's do it. Oh, I'm feeling all like happy about Roanoke right now. there are exceptional people here and exceptional businesses. Spotlights time. Go for it, Brad.
All right. So this week's CoLab Business Spotlight is on Chocolate Paper, which, if you haven't been to it, is one of the best places to find a gift outside of course, Treehouse Collaborative. But
it's fine.
especially if you want to include chocolate in that gift in some ways.
There are many reasons to head to Chocolate Paper, and a lot of them have to do with the chocolate.
It's one of these things. I think when Sarah and I moved to Roanoke, we would go down to the market fairly often, and Chocolate Paper was one of these places that made us feel like, okay, this is like this is a business you could see in Charlottesville or like in Richmond. They have a sister place on Carey Street in Richmond, which if you know, if you can make it on Carey Street, then there's a certain hip value in that. So mm-hmm. more power to you, Chocolate Paper, and thank you for all you do for the Valley.
It's a glorious emporium. You can spend a long time in there playing with all the gifts and the chocolates. Yeah. Things, oh, so. Yeah. I like taking visitors there. And if you need gifts for speakers for conferences, they're yes. a good place for you.
Hmm. I'll definitely be going there.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
Is it my time?
I think it's your time.
It's yes. the food time.
We ate dessert first.
Yeah. So the food spotlight this week is Bethlehem. Bethlehem 2, actually, in the Grandin area. Definitely big shout out to these guys. Everything I've tasted is amazing. I probably eat it twice every 2 weeks, once every week, I guess I could say. Sure. The fries, very simple, but very, very good. The baklava is great. It's like a pistachio mix. The beef shawarma is great. The gyros are great. Definitely a big shout out to these guys. I support them all the way. I give them a lot of money, and I don't mind it.
Well, and that's, you know, okay, first of all, I have two things. First of all, as I eat typically vegetarian when I eat out, and the mm-hmm. falafel's great. So yeah. I will throw that out there as well, and the fries are amazing. Second of all, definitely give your money via food purchases to them because they are huge in supporting the refugee community. They give a lot of food to events nice. That support the refugee community and other, you know, communities in need. Nicest people. They have their first location on Williamson, mm-hmm. Kind of in the early half of Williamson, and then they just opened one in Grandin, and you can see their big meat spit just spinning in the window yeah. every time you walk by.
And the cool thing about the one on Williamson is it actually has a grocery as well.
Yeah.
So
you can find all kinds of mm-hmm, fascinating mm-hmm. little things in there. Mm-hmm. Even here in Grandin, there's some fascinating little candies to try. They do have little
chocolates and stuff like that.
Yeah, grocery items.
They do.
Yeah, definitely check them out.
What have you got arts and culture wise?
Yeah, so I have been wanting to talk about the Bazaar of Roanoke for the past few weeks because with one of my jobs, I work really closely with them. So the Bazaar of Roanoke used to have a location across the street from Towers, and they've recently gone mobile. Instead of having a brick and mortar location, it's a nonprofit record store and concert promoting group run by a local woman, Jamie. And they put on some of the most interesting experimental sort of independent music shows in town. They do a lot of them at the Spot on Kirk, so that's why I know of them. And she also always does a pop-up record store when she does shows, and they also take their sort of mobile record store around the community and pop up at breweries and other events. And I just, you know, wanted to give them a shout-out. They are bringing some of the coolest fringe and sort of pushing the envelope performances to Roanoke, and I, as a music lover and somebody who works in that community, I really appreciate them doing that and continuing to bring that sort of riskier music to Roanoke. And by that I mean it's not going to sell as many tickets as your typical country mm-hmm. act would, but they're really trying to make that part of the scene here, and I just want to shout out to them. So keep an eye on their concerts. Check them out. They're usually $7, so it's the same as like a cover for going into a bar at night. And it's good stuff. And then they've got records for sale too. And who doesn't love a good pop-up record store? Yeah.
If I had a record player, I would probably love a pop-up record store.
I definitely have a record player.
Me too.
I have a nice one too.
Oh, I have a crappy one. Oh, but we use it all the time, and I should invest in a nicer one because we really do like, we use it all the time.
Yeah, I found one at Goodwill for like $30, but it's a it's made by GE. It's a big wood one.
Nice.
It's got an 8-track and a radio. Man. It's loud.
Yeah, record players are coming back. I mean, definitely the bands that I follow are always releasing full LP records, and yeah. I usually buy them. They're way more fun. It's a way more personal experience than
have you seen the Shinola record players?
Mm-mm.
They're absolutely amazing.
Oh, I've got some
like
on my list.
$100,000 to spend on
right now. I've got some on my list for like Christmas presents that are not quite like that nice,
yeah.
but just the really cool, like beautiful glass topped. Yeah. Oh man, so great. Anyway, gotta move on. instead of doing our typical events list this week, we were going to talk a little bit about a special event upcoming this week that contains multitudes. So we're going to go over that. We'll add other events into the newsletter as well. But this week, starting on Wednesday night, technically, CityWorks Expo kicks mm-hmm. off. Hooray! Surprise Brad's here. Yeah. This morning. He's been working really hard on it. But Brad, do you want to run us through the schedule of events and talk a little bit about Expo?
Yeah, so Expo, this is our eighth year. Focus has been on big ideas for better places. This year we've got a special theme on anticipating 2050, acting today. But really we talk about the comprehensiveness of what goes into creating thriving communities and thriving places. So, excuse me, this year, that starts on Wednesday night. We're going to have a kind of a kickoff party in the West Station area. Is that the official name?
Yeah, so it's a open to the public West Station sort of block party, which is, so my shop, Treehouse Collaborative, is at 5th and Campbell. We're going to be kind of the headquarters for it. But basically, you know, Downshift and Big Lick Brewery and a few of the other places in the neighborhood are going to be open like normal, but we're just going to direct the CityWorks Expo folks there to hang out at the different places and get to know each other a little bit to kick off the week.
Very good. And then Thursday, we'll kick off around 10 o'clock in the morning and then kind of go through 5 with speakers and breakout sessions, and then have another shindig on Thursday evening. And, you know, get down in the lobby of the Patrick Henry. If you've ever wanted to drink beers in the lobby of the Patrick Henry, we can do that.
Nice.
And then Friday we'll have all-day speakers and then kick off with and finalize with a free public event at the Taubman, which will include a positive poster art creation project, so that people can go in and make their positive protest posters during that time. So,
and much more. The Taubman always has a ton going on First Fridays.
4 or 5 different things you can participate in that evening. I should share as well, there will be an additional portion of the Friday programming that will be free and open to anybody that's interested, and that will be that we will have Tim Kaine joining us on Friday afternoon, and that particular portion will be open around 3. So if you guys are interested in hearing Tim Kaine speak, you can come. Just let the registration desk know that you're here for Tim Kaine, and they'll send you upstairs, and you can be part of the crowd for that. So
sweet. And then Saturday, there's a...
Saturday will be a free and open day again, and this time we're going to be celebrating some of our local placemakers. So we'll be awarding placemaker awards for... business, placemaker, nonprofit, community, government, and then a placemaker of the year as well. So I'll give you a little hint that if you show up, you might see Xavier there. So,
maybe.
but it should be a great day, a chance to celebrate some of the folks really doing incredible work in the area and a chance for us to say thank you to them. But also we want to use it as a platform to encourage everybody to get out and do things as well that you... as much as we love these folks, they're not special people. Right. They do special things, and you can do special things as well. So,
I definitely encourage anybody to go. If you're looking for a place to network, to socialize as well, definitely come out. I'm definitely going to be in attendance. I love networking. I feel like that's the only way you can make business better. And then you learn about the people that are around you trying to do the same thing that you're trying to do. That's how Roanoke is actually going to make it, you know, and become better as people get out.
If you want to meet interesting, cool folks, I can think of a few places that are better for that.
That's true.
So. Bring your business cards.
Yeah, and an open mind.
If you want to meet us, we'll be around.
So. Absolutely.
Also, if you want to please us, please subscribe to this podcast, rate it. And, you know, follow us on the internet. I'm, you know, struggling to find ways to post enough on Instagram, but we're there. I'm there if you ever want to reach out over a direct message and ask us questions or send us any events or anything. I'm listening. Seattle. sorry, I'm watching Frasier these days.
It's a good show.
It's a horrible show.
No, that's not the one I like. I like Seinfeld.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Frasier's, it's hit or miss, but it's delightful. It's very brainless. Which they would not like to hear, I guess, probably. anyway, thanks for listening, and happy October.
Absolutely.
It's upon us.
It's my mom's birthday this weekend.
Nice.
Everybody wish Donna a happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Mom.
We'll end on that happy note.